It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Beautiful Sunday morning. And we've got the whole crew in here this morning. We've got Mosses, we've got Ryan Ely, and we're ready to take your phone calls and your questions. And we're covering one of the biggest debates we have ever seen in our industry, which is this active-passive debate, the giant debate. Two major studies have come out in the last couple of weeks that completely butt heads and completely contradict each other, leading to the confusion for investors. We also had a crazy week in Washington, and I would say not necessarily a crazy week in markets. Probably my favorite quote of the day or the weekend, Barron's: don't count your repeals before they're hatched. On the week, pretty decent week in the market, up about a third of a percent for the Dow Jones, S&P 500 up a little more than a half a percent on the week, the NASDAQ up another full 1%, now up 13% on the year. S&P 500 up 7, Dow Jones up 6% on the year. Healthcare reform, so yes, there's a repeal and replace of Obamacare. Some, of course, calling this now Trumpcare, but it's got to go to the Senate. So I know there's an awful lot that folks are excited about, but got a long way to go here. Market reaction to the repeal or the vote this week, absolutely muted, did nothing for markets, which is telling me that there's still a lot of skepticism on what actually will get done ultimately. So we have that. We passed a $1.1 trillion spending bill. We have no government shutdown now all the way through September 30th. The Freedom Caucus wants a revised tax plan after 2 weeks ago Trump released his tax plan. We had a jobs report that added 200,000+ folks, 211,000. Earnings continue to go well, and the Federal Reserve had no rate hike. So just an incredible amount of activity in Washington, incredible amount of economic data, all swirling around what I think is most relevant if you're an investor, is you're worried about how you're really situated and how you're approaching this whole thing of getting to retirement and maximizing your returns, maximizing your income, doing all these things in the context of trying to keep your money safe in a world that continues to swirl. It wasn't but about 3 minutes ago, I had a headline on my iPhone about, let's make sure I'm accurate on this one, but this is the kind of thing that just continues. North Korea detained second U.S. citizen tied to a Christian-backed university in Pyongyang. It just continues. The news flow of scary events, they just continue, right? You immediately think to yourself, wait a minute, so North Korea, now they have one of our folks, they've got one of our citizens. What's that do to the geopolitical tensions with them? So the world continues to be on eggshells. And you and I are just trying to get to a place where we're comfortable, and that's what we're here about on Sunday morning. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Phone lines are open, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely is with me here, producer, has been for, we're in our ninth year here for Money Matters on WSB Radio. Really about our, I guess, 10th or 11th year doing radio. It's been a long time. One of my kids asked me this morning, Luke said, Dad, do you like going to radio on Sunday mornings? And I probably like it today more than I did 5 years ago and 10 years ago. So we have a lot of fun here. We have a wonderful audience. We are blessed to have one of the few last live call-in radio shows in the nation, which means in the world today, where you can literally call in here on a live basis, feel comfortable that you're going to get an objective answer to what could be a fairly complex problem that's been weighing on you and your family. And we've been doing it for years, and we've been doing, and we take a lot of pride in being able to help you. Maybe it's a lot of times it's a financial tiebreaker. You think one thing, maybe your spouse thinks another. Hey, honey, what should we be doing here? Hey, let's call Wes on a Sunday morning. Let's see what Wes on Money Matters says. And we're happy to do that as we dive into what is this giant debate. And I know that we touched on this last Sunday. We got a bunch of calls about this, and folks want to hear about what's better Wes, what's better? Do I just do index funds and become a passive investor, or do I buy stocks and try to get tricky in markets? Or is there somewhere in between? And that is the debate we're going to try to solve here today in the swirl of geopolitical churn. So the number here in the studio, if you'd like to enter into this conversation, we'd love to chat, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 for our folks around the country in Washington State, California, Texas, and Michigan, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we're going to go to this debate, last 20 years, 30 years. It just continues to heat up. The RPMs continue to go higher and higher into the red zone. Do you sit still? Do you sit still in some sort of market index and just take your ups and your downs and your lumps? Leave it, no matter what happens in markets? Or do you try to do something more strategic than that? A little more thought out. That's what we're going to try to solve for today. There are these two massive studies that really contradict each other. One done by S&P, Standard & Poor's, which has a lot of validity and a lot of credibility and respect behind it, and one by Morningstar and PIMCO, which, again, a lot of credibility and a lot of respect behind that. And as an investment advisor, I've got to, and a host here of Money Matters for a lot of years, but the most important part of my job is to educate about the facts and the fictions. And there's a bunch of fake news that goes on in investing. Hey, fake news, it might even have been invented in the investment world. Now there's fake news everywhere, but it's always been in the financial sector. So I'm trying to help you to decipher what's fact, what's fiction, and what's in between. And I got an email about a couple weeks ago from a radio listener, and it kind of sparked this thought of, you know, I really need to think this through and write about this. And by the way, I wrote about this. It'll be in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this Tuesday in the front of the living section. So if you miss the show here today, you can read about this debate, the active versus passive investing debate, AJC, on Tuesday. But the listener says, hey, Wes, I've been using active mutual funds for years. I want to rebalance the portfolio, and I want to use passive investment vehicles. Is it time, she said, Wes, is it time for me to become just a passive investor? Now, let me try to answer that question today here on Money Matters, because I think it applies to so many of you listening at some point in your investment life cycle. So let me first define these two areas. So you've got active and then you have passive, both investing styles. Passive investing, by strict definition, entails owning the market. Hey, just own the market. Or just own a broad market indexed fund and never trade it. Add to it, never rebalance it because it's just the only thing you own, and you just live with it. As a reminder, though, remember, you can't own an actual index. They're not for sale. You can own a fund that tracks an index and it's pretty darn close, or an ETF, exchange-traded fund, that tracks an index. But remember, it's got to be in some sort of vehicle or fund, and there's some cost associated with it no matter what you do. So there's no such thing as an actual index that you can invest in, only a fund that tracks an index. Active investing, and this is where I think I'll bring a lot of light to this. Active investing, it by nature, is really anything besides a pure buy and hold strategy. So if you're doing anything beyond just owning, let's call it the S&P 500 fund or the World Index Fund or the bond, total bond market, if you're doing anything beyond just that, technically, it's active. So for all intents and purposes, there's really no such thing as pure passive investing, just various shades of active investing. And I'm going to get back to this in a minute. And again, part of this goes back to, in reality, what most people do. Yes, there are people that will buy an index and that's all they'll ever do, and they'll sit there forever. And that happens. And there are certainly investors that do that. Not a giant percentage, though. I don't know the exact percentage. I don't know if I've ever seen a study that says this amount of people are just totally passive and they never change anything. They sit in an index. Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's up to 10. But 90% of folks are doing something that technically, whether they say they're active or passive, it's technically active, because anything beyond just sitting in an index is some version of active investing. For instance, if an investor chooses to hold, let's say, just the S&P 500 fund, widely regarded as passive, by the way, oh, I just own the S&P, I'm passive. Well, you're inherently making a decision by doing that to hold only United States stocks, which by nature is an active decision, only to invest in about what's 10% of the world's $240 trillion investable marketplace. So again, there are about $240 trillion worth of investments around the globe, stocks and bonds and real estate, pipelines, U.S., international, real estate, REITs, U.S., international, bonds, U.S., international, emerging markets. There are choices all over the world. There's hundreds of different indexes. I downloaded into Excel to try to count how many indexes there were, and I lost count over 400 different just indexes to track. Now you can start to understand why there are thousands upon thousands of mutual funds, because there's all these different iterations of all these different indexes. So which one do you own? So when you own an index, by nature, out of the gate, that's an active decision to pinpoint one area of the world. Furthermore, anytime you use many or multiple passive vehicles, so think, oh, I own 10 different index funds or 5 different index funds and 3 different ETFs. Now, by nature, even though you own a bunch of passive vehicles, by nature, now you've got an active strategy. So the real genesis of this whole argument, I think, this whole debate, active versus passive, a real question from our Money Matters listener that they want to know, I think, it really comes down to performance. That's what we're really asking here. What does better, active or passive? Is it true that the vast majority of active funds are bested by their index fund counterparts? The answer to that is some do and some don't. And it's a very large continuum between the two. It is not black and white. It is not the headlines you read. Standard & Poor's study said, look, 90% of actively managed funds underperform their index over 15 years. Then a PIMCO Morningstar study says, particularly for bond funds, the exact opposite is true. So which one do you believe? We're going to solve it right here today on Money Matters. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It is a beautiful day today. Sunny, high around 70. Winds northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, clear skies, low near 50. I would say it is a nice change. Weather brought to you by Shoemate, by the way. Good morning, welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. And we're going to get to, what we've been talking about here today is this great debate that concerns all of us. Yes, we're peeling through healthcare reform and the $1.1 trillion spending budget and no government shutdown and the Freedom Caucus and what they want to do with taxes and the jobs report. All of these things create this swirl, and it really comes back to, what are the vehicles we really use? Forget all that, Wes. What do I use as an investor? Well, you've got these choices, active funds that have been around for over 100 years, that have gotten a really bad rap, really because of fees and underperformance because of fees and because of taxes. And then there's been this new emergence since John Bogle in the early 70s invented the index fund. Well, what do I use? Well, the index, the S&P 500 index, yeah, doesn't it beat a lot of different indexes? Doesn't it beat a lot of different mutual funds that are actively managed that are in fact trying to beat the index? And the answer is yes, to some extent, but there's a lot more to the story. Because just saying I'm going to be a passive investor and plunk money in an S&P 500 index, that's a great debate, but it's not a realistic question. Because I can tell you, in being an advisor for 20 plus years and being an investment counselor and investor myself, going on about 20 years now, it's a pretty rare person that's totally comfortable with the full, just a full raw exposure to that, especially as the assets get bigger and bigger. It's one thing when you have 10 grand in the S&P 500 fund, it goes up by 10% or down 10%. It's not from a nominal dollar perspective, doesn't hurt that much. I have 10,000 in an index, it goes down 10%. It's $1,000. It goes down 20%, it's $2,000. It'll come back. Or I'm contributing a lot more than that, so I might not even notice it. Right? Because we can contribute $18,000 to $24,000 from our 401ks. But let's say that number gets into the hundreds of thousands, 500,000, millions. It's a lot different 10 and 20% makes. So we're going to continue to talk about this debate here. You've tuned into Money Matters. Stay tuned right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Your calls and questions, 404-872-0750. The great debate today between active and passive investing. Which one do you choose? Is there really even such a thing as pure passive? The answer is yes, but realistically, how many people do that? In trying to distill all of this down into one easy to understand argument, what I've realized is that there's really, in the purest sense of the word, active investing versus passive investing. Passive investing is just a buy and hold strategy of a particular index fund. Anything beyond that, anything beyond just standing pat for 40, 50 years in one investment or so, is by nature active. So by nature, there's very few folks that are purely passive. There are just varying degrees or shades of active, if that makes sense. Varying shades of being an active investor. Some are very lightly active. Some are highly active. Let's call it like a hedge fund or a mutual fund. And we're going to continue to answer this very question as we go through this morning. But I do like to go to the phones here and let's get some participation. The number 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. Your calls and questions as we go through the great debate between active and passive. John joins us on the line from Buford. Good morning, John. Welcome to the Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
As I mentioned to your screener, I've got an investment vehicle. It's through a large insurance company at the end of the day. It's tied to the S&P. It's going to mature fully in August. Had it for 5 years. It's grown quite nicely. But at the end of the day, if it was what they call a B-structured security vehicle. And I guess the question is, what are my options when that thing matures? Or should I just do it all over again?
Well, is it inside an IRA or a non-IRA account?
Yeah, it's
IRA. It's inside an IRA, so you can change it without any tax consequences, obviously, which is great. I guess my question here is that I go back to this is a. It sounds like this is an annuity, right? That's tied somewhat tied to the S&P 500, right?
Correct.
How much did you put in it, and how much is it worth today?
Just approximately. Just under 5 years ago, I put in just under 50, and it's about $82,000. It's a small piece of my total portfolio, but I want to do something with it.
And are there restrictions? So this is interesting. So it only has about a 5-year restriction to it?
Yes.
And you're ready to go. Well, it sounds like you are. Now, were there also, is this a variable annuity or some sort of equity index annuity? Do you remember?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. Sounds a little bit like a variable annuity to me, but it's
probably
hard to tell exactly, but it sounds like it's been similar to the S&P 500. I mean, over the last 5 years, S&P 500 is up about 70 or about 80%. You're up at about 65, which is, it's basically tracked the market with a little bit of a lag, which, so it's done pretty well. I think that I go back to, if it's inside an IRA, it's just another investment vehicle. When you have a variable annuity like this, and you've got a bunch of choices, S&P 500, the international index, a bond index, it's a lot like just a 401k plan where you can choose your own options. The question typically is that, is there some sort of income benefit that you can enact for the rest of your life? How old are you?
65.
All right, 65, time to, so, and are you about ready?
Yep.
Well, you've got what? You said about a year to 50, about a year and a half to retirement?
August 2018.
Wow. It's coming up. How exciting is that, by the way, John?
Actually, it's kind of scary.
It is scary, isn't it? So I guess my question is that out of the other assets that you have, this makes up what percentage? Is this 10% of the family pie, or is this a big chunk of it?
Probably about 13%
of the overall.
Yeah.
Which means that for you, well, that's pretty specific. So you've got about $600,000-$700,000 of money invested elsewhere, right? Here's my thought, John, is that when you're in a product that is a lot like a mutual fund, part of the conversation we're having today, right now, we're talking about these active funds versus passive funds. In qualification, what you're using right now, an annuity from a big German insurance company, AXA, Allianz, Prudential is obviously from the United States, but most of these companies are providing you with just another investment vehicle that has a lot of cost to it. Doesn't mean it's a bad investment vehicle, and to your point here, this has grown pretty nicely. It sounds like it's in an S&P 500-like fund. The S&P's up 80%, you're up 65%. So it's done pretty well over the last 5 years, like it should have if it's tied to the market. The problem that a lot of these variable annuities have is that they are really expensive. They cost 2 to 3, sometimes even 4% a year. So I'm not against all of these investment products because they have their own merit, and sometimes there is a benefit to owning an annuity for a particular person in a particular situation that might make a little bit of sense. However, if John, you're telling me, hey, Wes, I want a balanced approach. I want this to produce income. And there are other vehicles that you can own, and there obviously are through lower cost ETFs that don't cost you 2 or 3% a year, then I'd say that you can look at something that is a lot more efficient, that's running a much cleaner race than having an annuity that's tied to the S&P 500 that costs 3% a year. There's no reason for that. And part of what we're talking about here today is that very question. Is there something fundamentally wrong with the active strategy you're using? Not it's not broken, but if you're running a race with a 3% burden when you could be running at a 1% or a 0.5%, then it might make more sense to think about that. So stay tuned, John. So again, my answer to you is that if this is just another piece of the pie that's meant to grow as efficiently and effectively as possible, and it's tied up in a variable annuity that's costing you 3% a year, then I think it's probably time to find another vehicle that can run a better race for you, that can run a cleaner, less expensive race, which gets me back to this very argument that really John's particular call weighs right into, and that's what's better. Do I use active funds or do I use passive funds? So we go back to the headline question here. What comes down to is cost, and it comes down to performance. In short, what does better, these active funds or these passive funds? I think John's example here is that he's in a product that's got a lot of expense in it. So it's an active fund in the sense that it's got a lot of management fees tied up in it. And even though it's tied to the S&P 500, it's lagged the S&P 500 by a pretty significant margin. So the question is, what does better? Is it true that the majority of active funds are bested by their index fund counterparts? Again, some do and some don't. So a standard, but it's, again, it's not nearly as one-sided as the headlines make it out to be. Standard & Poor's just did a study highlighted in the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago. It says that more than 90% of actively managed large cap equity funds. So this is in one particular category, by the way, just to qualify this. In large cap equity funds, they underperform, 90% of them underperform the index over the last 15 years. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. That's a real advertisement to ditch your active funds and use index funds or use ETFs, right? On the other side of the spectrum, PIMCO and Morningstar, again, a lot of credibility behind that, show that the majority of active bond funds, so now we're talking about a different category, hence part of the confusion in this argument. So the majority of active bond funds and bond ETFs, by the way, do in fact beat their index fund counterparts. Okay, well, that's two giant companies doing these giant longitudinal studies, and they're saying different things. But remember, they're saying different things about different areas of the market. One's large cap stocks, one's bonds. The data confirms that in most bond categories, short-term bonds, high-yield bonds, intermediate bonds, and the list goes on, index funds trailed their active fund counterparts over the last 1, 3, 5, 7, and 10 years. Again, I'll say it again. Index funds trailed their active funds over a 1, 3, 5, 7, and 10 year period. Interestingly, 63% of these active funds and ETFs beat their passive index over the last 5 years. So that's a very different story, isn't it, from this big argument. The study goes on to say that stock or equity funds, again, they don't fare quite as well against their passive competition, but about a third of them, very different, by the way, than the S&P study, about a third of active stock funds do beat their passive competition on a 1, 3, 5, 7, and 10 year basis. That's very different than the Standard & Poor's study, isn't it? Mostly due to how each study categorizes these funds that are, and there's a bunch of them that are no longer in existence. So funds will get merged together. Funds will go away. The manager will retire and he'll close up shop. Remember, an active fund is run by active people. People have lives. Lives change. They don't do it forever. They might do it for 15 or 20 or 30 years. So the Standard & Poor's study, in stark contrast to the S&P study, they take out the funds that are closing or merging or going away, which actually is probably a more fair way to look at the investment universe. So in reality here, both active and passive investment vehicles have a lot of merit. That's the answer here, is that both active funds and passive investment vehicles have significant merit. By the way, here brings up, this is another part of the argument here, or the conversation. Notice I said vehicles. Both active and passive vehicles can shine. But there's a distinction to be made between the vehicles that we use as investors and how our overall investment strategy or how our overall approach is defined, which brings me back to my earlier point. There's no such thing as pure passive investing for most folks, just various shades of active. And that's what we'll continue to talk about here today. You're listening to Money Matters, by the way, of the great debate, active versus passive. The number here in the studio, by the way, 404-872-0750. If you're confused as to what maybe you really even own, do you own an active fund or a passive fund, or is it somewhere in the middle? Is it an ETF? Wait a minute, my ETF, I think it's kind of passive, but maybe it's a little bit active and maybe it's in the middle. Happy to answer those questions. It'd be a great day to try to bring that particular part of the conversation up. The number here, phone lines open, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Five reconstruction and the beautiful change of the weather in Kirk Mellish's five-day forecast.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Remember, you can listen to Money Matters on your phone. Just download the WSB radio app. And at any given point, just hit play. Easy. Takes 2 seconds. Let's go to the phone lines here. Doug joins us from Atlanta. Good morning. Doug, what's going on? How can I help?
Well, I wanted to call up and talk a little bit about behavioral finance and how that affects people who are investing in passive or active. And I think people think that they're going to get actually out from under themselves, their own emotions, by investing in passive index funds. But the fact of the matter is, then they become the active manager. And when the market goes down 10%, they go, okay, not bad. 20%, I'm getting worried. 30%, I'm getting very worried. And then they make the decision, like most people do, they sell at exactly the wrong time, even though they're holding a passive fund. So I'm a real proponent of active money management, in that you have to get away from your own emotions. Paying somebody a point to a point a quarter, you can blow that in a bad weekend, not to mention half a day.
Yeah.
So you know, you have to stay in the market. You have to, if you can, you know, it's good to have a good cushion so you don't find yourself selling out of duress.
So I think your point, though, which is a really interesting one, Doug, is that even though if you are using these passive vehicles, you yourself can become an active manager. So again, it blows the whole pure, the pure strategy goes away because of your emotions is really what you're saying.
In my opinion, the only people who are suited for passive are people who can put their money in and never take it out.
Which is a great point. Listen, Doug, thank you so much for your call this morning. I think Doug was actually calling from the back corner of a Home Depot. It's America, folks.